Shalom and welcome to His Word Heals. Today is our 24th program and the 6th in an in-depth study on biblical healing. Last week we followed our Creator's everlasting covenant made with Abraham all the way through biblical history up to and through Yeshua, even all the way to us today, those redeemed to His covenant in Yeshua's name. Today we will look at Yeshua's ministry of healing as well as what our responsibilities are once we become a party to this everlasting covenant. Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Abba, I pray in the name of Yeshua, my Savior and King, that the words and information spoken today would only honor you and your Son, that any words that are not from you would fall to the ground, but that your words would be heard by those whom you choose to hear them. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Before we get started today, I also want to send up prayers for the Judah family in dealing with the loss of their beautiful matriarch, Lynn Judah. Even in such a time as this, Lion and Lamb Ministries and the Judah family are a shining light and an inspiration to others. When I visited Lion and Lamb's Facebook page today for Lynn Judah's memorial service, which was beautiful by the way, I accidentally, though I don't believe it was truly an accident, ended up on a different Lion and Lamb Facebook page at first. On that other Lion and Lamb Ministries webpage, I read the following words of encouragement and wisdom from a May 17th post, which really spoke to me. I thought I would share them with you as well. It gave me a peace beyond all understanding. This is part of what it said. A lot of times, when you get in this season of desperation, you let your guard down and let anyone speak into your life. This is so dangerous. You have to ask God for discernment and not just accept anything from anyone. When you get conflicting words from others or even yourself, get quiet with God and quit seeking others to confirm something. God will speak if you get quiet in His presence during confusion. Don't let the noise around you confuse what God has already told you. He is not a God that lies. Don't drown looking around at all the chaos around you. Close your eyes and get into prayer. The bottom line is that you either believe God or you don't. Might sound harsh, but it's true. Such beautiful words of truth and inspiration. I couldn't have said them better myself. And it was a message that I needed to hear for such a time as this. What we try to do on this program is just bring to you what His Word says and make it real and applicable to your lives. His Word is what He has already told us. His Word is wisdom and truth for every generation. His Word still heals His people. We don't always understand what is taking place in the lives of others, nor should we try to. Our job is to cling to our faith in His everlasting promises and His power to accomplish His will through each and every one of us, in spite of our shortcomings. He is able to strengthen us and our faith if we will hold on to Him as if our life depends on it, because it does. With that said, we will delve right into today's look at biblical healing. Now that we hopefully have a little bit better understanding of what the covenant is that Yeshua came to restore and that we are joined to through Him, we need to take a look at what instructions or commandments we should obey once we come into covenant with our Creator through His Son Yeshua. In review, remember Matthew 5:16-19 says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments, and shall teach men to do so also, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Yeshua did not come to destroy or do away with the law. He came to fulfill it. He fulfilled the requirement of the law that the penalty of sin is death. We've all sinned or broken Elohim's laws, so we all deserve eternal death. He, being sinless and following the law perfectly, voluntarily became sin for us and voluntarily died in our place, fulfilling the death requirement of the law. Not one jot or one tittle, the smallest parts of the Hebrew letters in which the law was written, shall pass from the law until all is fulfilled and heaven and earth pass away. Heaven and earth are still here, and there are many prophetic events, such as Yeshua's second coming and thousand-year reign, which have not yet been fulfilled. Even though we cannot keep the commands perfectly, enough to earn salvation, that doesn't mean we just throw them out or pick and choose which ones we want to obey. His commands or instructions are still His rules for His kingdom and His people. They instruct us on how Yahweh wants us to love Him and also how He expects us to love each other, which are the two greatest commands according to Yeshua Himself. He doesn't leave anything to guesswork. The purpose of all of the laws, commands, or instructions given to us in the Old Testament or First Writings, when coupled with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for guidance in a personal relationship with our Father through His Son Yeshua, is to glorify and honor our Father and to treat our fellow human beings justly and compassionately according to His standards. Matthew 22:37-40 says, Yeshua said unto him, Thou shalt love Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it too. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. If you truly obey those two commands, you will obey all of the Torah, His instructions or commands as given through Moses and the prophets, because they are a summary of all of them. The law and the prophets simply go into more detail of what obeying these two laws look like according to Yahweh's standards. Let's take a look at what are known as the Ten Commandments. These are the ten main instructions given by Yahweh to Moses on tablets of stone at Mount Sinai. They are found first in Exodus and are also reiterated in Deuteronomy 5:6-21. The first five explain how to love Yahweh our Creator, and the last five specify how to love your neighbor according to our Creator's standards. Number 1. I am Yahweh thy Elohim, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other God before me. Number 2. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, Yahweh thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Number 3. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh thy Elohim in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Number 4. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as Yahweh thy Elohim hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thine cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gates. Thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that Yahweh thy Elohim brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore Yahweh thy Elohim commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Number 5. Honor thy father and thy mother, as Yahweh thy Elohim hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee. Number 6. Thou shalt not kill. Number 7. Neither shalt thou commit adultery. Number 8. Neither shalt thou steal. Number 9. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Number 10. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. Neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. We should do our best to obey all of our Creator's instructions and commands that apply to us. In the King James Version, Deuteronomy 30:11 tells us His commands are not hidden from us, but the Hebrew word here translated as hidden actually could be interpreted to mean as hard or difficult according to the Strong's. His commands are not too hard or difficult for us to obey. One of the above top 10 that we all can and should obey, but many do not obey, either because they choose not to or simply don't realize that they should, would be number 4. The commandment to keep the seventh day Sabbath was commanded even before it was written on the tablets of stone at Mount Sinai. As a matter of fact, our Creator sanctified the seventh day right after creation. Genesis 2, 2 and 3. And on the seventh day Elohim ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Elohim created and made. He wants us to observe and set it apart just as he did after creation, as a sign or covenant that we acknowledge him as our Elohim and creator of everything. The Sabbath might at first seem inconvenient, but it certainly is not impossible. Many people who have begun setting apart and honoring the seventh-day Sabbath will testify that the Sabbath is actually a delight and a blessing. Our Heavenly Father is not a hard taskmaster. To the contrary, he commands us to take a day off. As Yeshua said, his yoke is light. He knows we need rest and a time to read his word and to teach it to our children, undisturbed by the cares of this world, so that we can be refreshed as we head into a new week. Most Christian leaders will tell you that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday, the first day of the week. The original Hebrew word, Shabbat, actually means intermission. In other words, it is a pause between the end of one week and the beginning of another. The word Sabbath first appears in the aforementioned Exodus 16:26 and says, 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, or Shabbat in the Hebrew, in it there shall be none. Here he specifically names the seventh day a Sabbath or intermission before the week begins again. So then, how can the Sabbath, or intermission, between the sixth and first days be changed to the first day of the week, or Sunday? Where is the scripture that states that this day has ever changed? Some might argue that we don't really know which day is the seventh day. Well, we know that Sunday is the first day of the week because it is also the day Christians celebrate the resurrection, and we know Yeshua arose on the first day of the week. So then, according to Christian doctrine itself, as well as overwhelming historical writings confirming Sunday as the first day of the week, we know that Saturday is indeed the seventh day of the week. Almost no one disputes this fact. When you ask most Christian leaders who changed the Sabbath to Sunday, they will usually tell you the disciples in the New Testament worshipped or studied together on the first day of the week. So what if they did? They went from house to house breaking bread, probably on many different days. That doesn't mean they stopped honoring the seventh day as the set-apart Sabbath or Shabbat, or that Yeshua changed the Sabbath to Sunday. To the contrary, there are many scriptures documenting the fact that the disciples, including Paul, still went to the synagogues on the Sabbath, where Jews were gathered together with Gentiles who also believed in the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you look in the original Greek at the phrase first day of the week in Acts 20 verse 7, which says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." You will see that the Greek word sabbaton is translated as week here in this verse. However, in other passages in the New Testament, this same Greek word is also translated as Sabbath. Additionally, there is no Greek word for day in this verse, which is why the word day here is italicized in most Bibles. Day has been added in the English. The literal translation straight from the Greek to the English without any words added or changed then would be first Sabbath or one Sabbath without the word day. Since Acts 20 verse 7 is a popular verse used to say the Sabbath was changed to the first day of the week, let's look at what it could actually be saying based on a word-for-word translation from the Greek directly to English. It could say, "And upon this one, the Sabbath, when the disciples came together to break bread." The clincher, which suggests this is a more correct translation of this passage, comes from understanding the biblical feasts and Hebraic roots of them. Let's look at this verse in context of the verse just before it. Acts 20 verse 6 says, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them in Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon this one, the Sabbath, when the disciples came together to break bread." Starting the day following the first Sabbath after Passover, which is during the days of unleavened bread, Yahweh's people are commanded in Leviticus 23 and elsewhere to count 7 complete Sabbaths to the day after the seventh Sabbath, or the 50th day after the Feast of First Fruits. This 50th day, or day after the seventh Sabbath, is the feast of Shavuot, or Pentecost. The phrase, "this one, the Sabbath," following the Feast of Unleavened Bread, could be speaking of one of these seven Sabbaths which they were commanded to count leading up to Shavuot or Pentecost. For more information on the biblical feasts, which our Creator says are my feasts, you can read Leviticus 23. Therefore, Acts 20 verse 7 and other similar verses by far do not prove the Sabbath was ever changed by the disciples or Yeshua, all of which honored the seventh-day Sabbath, as you can read in many New Testament scriptures. In reality, honoring the seventh-day Sabbath was outlawed by the Catholic Church and changed to Sunday, the first day of the week. Catholic writings even admit to this change, and Catholic doctrine claims that they have the authority to change this and any other scriptures that the Pope deems as needing to be changed. Catholicism claims the Pope is the Vicar of Christ, Jesus' representative on earth through the succession of Peter, and that the Catholic Church is the only true and universal Church with all authority over Scripture and God's Word. I'm sorry, and I do not mean to offend any Catholics listening to this program. However, the Catholic Church and their Pope cannot override what Yahweh says in His Word as given through Moses, let alone what our Savior, Yeshua, the Word of Elohim made flesh, taught and practiced. Yeshua obeyed the fourth commandment by observing the seventh-day Sabbath, and so did His disciples. So then, if we seek to walk as He walked, we should honor the seventh-day Sabbath as well. 1 John 2:6 says, "He that saith, He abideth in Him," speaking of Yeshua, "ought himself also to walk, even as he," Yeshua, "walked." Here are just a few more verses that show us our need, even our mandate, to keep the commandments of Yahweh. Yeshua said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And in John 15:10, he also said, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Yeshua, the Word of Elohim made flesh, was quoting the Word of Yahweh from the Torah, laws, or instructions, in the first writings, as he often did. As we can see in the following verses from the first writings, Yahweh's message has always been that those who love him will keep his commands. Exodus 20 verse 6, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." And also Deuteronomy 5:10, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." So then, how can we say that we love him with all of our hearts, souls, and might, the first greatest commandment according to Yeshua in Mark 12:30 and others, if we don't keep his commandments, and instead teach that they are done away with, changed, and or nailed to the cross? The fact that Yeshua tells us if we love him, we will keep his commands should be enough motivation by itself for us to do so. However, our Creator and Heavenly Father loves us so much that He also promises healing to His people who obey all that He commands. Only 3 days after bringing His people through the Red Sea on their journey to the Promised Land, Yahweh makes the following promise in Exodus 15:26, where He says, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh that healeth thee." This promise is followed up just a few verses later with the first test he gives them to see whether or not they will obey his commandments. More specifically, he checks to see if they will honor or set apart his Sabbath. He sends them manna to eat, but commands them to only gather it for 6 days, but on the seventh day or Sabbath, they were not to go out to gather it. They were to rest on the Sabbath. Exodus 16, 4-5. "Then said Yahweh unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Exodus 16:21-28. "And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread. 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which Yahweh hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto Yahweh. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that which ye will seethe, and that which remains over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto Yahweh. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And Yahweh said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? I submit to you, based upon the scriptures presented thus far, if we are born again, joined to his people through his son Yeshua, and choose to obey his commands, then all of his promises, including the promise of healing and good health, are for us today. They apply to his children, his chosen people, throughout all of history, just as they applied to his people in the days of Moses and in the days of Yeshua. Here are just a couple of verses in the apostolic writings that specify that before we can be healed, we need to confess our sins and repent of them. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. And 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We need to come to a realization of what we have done, that we have dishonored our Creator with our disobedience. We need to fall on our faces before our King and Savior, Yeshua, confess our sins, and ask for forgiveness. We can ask for His help by the indwelling of His holy set-apart Spirit to start down a path of obedience which leads to a true and lasting healing. This obedience will in turn honor and glorify our Father and His Son as ruler and Creator. We must then continue our study of His Word, starting at the beginning of the book, so that we will understand the end of it in context. Beware of some of the arguments of the church leaders against obeying all of the Old Testament commands today. Opponents of obeying the commandments and/or laws of Yahweh will often ask a believer in obeying the commands, So do you think we should stone rebellious sons as commanded in Deuteronomy 21? Good question. This question actually makes a good case for reading the entire Bible in context from the beginning. When understood in context, commands or right rulings such as this one have guidelines which must be followed. Parents are not told to stone their rebellious sons themselves. Parents, after trying everything they can to change their son's rebellious behavior, but to no avail, are then to bring him to the gate of the city before the elders for judgment. This command is obviously speaking of adult sons, since the verse says drunkards, and even in the Exodus, the boys under 20 years of age were not held accountable for the rebellion in the wilderness. Only then, once having been judged by the elders, are they to be stoned by the elders and not the parents. Since these were adult sons, it stands to reason that before being stoned, the rebellious sons would likely have left their parents' house and Israel altogether. However, if they didn't, then these elders were essentially the judges of the city, appointed because of their righteousness and wisdom. These elders would not take to stoning a rebellious son lightly. In essence, the rebellious sons would have a trial, and then, only if convicted, would they be stoned, but not by the parents. We do not have biblically appointed righteous elders to stand in judgment at the city gates today. Obviously, then, this command cannot be properly administered today. Many other such commands, likewise, cannot be properly administered and/or do not even apply to us because we are not in the land and there is no temple, temple priesthood, Sanhedrin, or elders to judge according to the Torah in such matters. However, the spirit of this and other such laws can be obeyed. Rebellious children should not go unpunished. They should be taught from the time they are little that rebellion against righteous parental authority and biblical precepts is not acceptable behavior. Often when they are not taught these things at home, they end up standing before the unrighteous judges of our secular law system, who will then judge them according to a man-made set of standards instead. Some then even face death, not by stoning, but by lethal injection or electrocution. Others simply get locked up like animals in prisons, Which is the better option, the biblical one or the secular one? If this is your first time listening, please download and listen to our preceding programs for free at www.hiswordheals.com.